Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Kings chapter number 2, verse number 9 says this, "And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing, nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken away from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." The Bible said in verse number 12, "And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more." That's Elijah is now gone. "And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan." Father, I love you today. God, you know the very need of the service today, and I pray that your will and way would be done. I pray, God, that you would help me to relay to your people, God, the thoughts that you've given me in this study. And God, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated today. I want to look into these verses for a little while this morning. And the Bible said this in verse number 9. Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Whenever you study the Word of God, you that knows the Bible knows that from this point on in the life of Elisha, of course, Elijah dies off the scene. And as I've just read to you, Elisha picks up the mantle of Elijah. And from this point on in Elisha's life, you'll find that in studying the Bible that Elisha does exactly what he has prayed for. There is a double portion that falls on him, and Elisha does 22 miracles from this point on. In other words, Elisha got what Elisha asked for. He asked for a double portion. He asked for the mantle of Elijah, and he got that. Here's what I want to talk to you about this morning. How to have it. How did he get that? How did he have the power of God resting on his life the way that he did? How did God use him so tremendously the way that he did? When you think about those 22 miracles that Elisha performed, let me give you some, and then I'll give you the message just to jog your memory a minute. You remember the one in 2 Kings chapter number 4? It's the raising of the Shunammite woman's son. This is one of the clearest displays of God's power over death in the Old Testament. After the child dies unexpectedly, Elisha prays and stretches himself upon the boy, and God restores him to life. The God Elisha served was not limited to death. When you study the God that Elijah served, he was not limited to death. And can I say this? When you serve the God that I serve today, he is not limited to that. What about this one right here? In 2 Kings chapter number 5, there's the healing of Naaman of leprosy. Naaman, a Syrian captive, comes seeking a healing. And Elisha instructs him to wash in the Jordan River 7 times. Though initially offended, Naaman obeys and is completely cleansed. What about if we went to 2 Kings chapter number 6, and there's that lost axe head there, and Elisha comes by and prays, and guess what? The axe head begins to flow. Here's one that's really interesting. What about the blinding the Syrian army and delivering Israel in 2 Kings chapter number 6? Here's the one that catches my attention more than any of them, though. What about 2 Kings chapter number 13? In 2 Kings chapter number 13, Elisha is dead, and he's put into a tomb. And in 2 Kings chapter number 13, after Elisha's death, after his death, a man is thrown into his tomb. And when that man is thrown into his tomb, the body touches the bones of Elisha, and he comes back to life. Not Elisha, but the dead man that's thrown in. Can I just say this to you? I believe he had the power of God on his life. I believe that he had the anointing of God on his life. Can I say this to you today? Have you ever heard somebody sing and the power of God rests on them? And you think, man, I sure would like to have that. Hey, preacher, have you ever heard somebody preach and the power of God rests on them? And you think, I sure would like to have that. Have you ever saw somebody testify? And in their testimony, man, you can just tell they've got a touch of God on them. They've got an anointing of God on them. And you think in your mind, boy, I sure would like to have that. I sure would like to have that. And I'll preach to you for a few minutes this morning on how to have it. You know what Elisha said? Elisha said, boy, I sure would love to have a double portion of what Elijah had. He said, I just don't want what Elijah's got. I want twice as much as what he's got. I want a double portion of it. And you know what God does? God gives Elisha the very desires of his heart. And God does that. How do we have that? The problem is this so many times today. Now hear me out. Don't write me off. Hear me out. But many today are not interested in it. Many today are not interested in the anointing of God. Many today are not interested in selling out to serve God. Many today are not interested in giving God everything. Here's what they want to do. They want to go to church every once in a while to make their conscience feel better or to appease someone. But that's not what it's about today, friend. It's about God and God moving in our life and God using us to do something for Him. Everything that we accomplish in this life, minus those things that are spiritual, will all be gone one day. Every bit of it is trivial. It'll burn up one day. Oh, but hear me and hear me well. What we do for the King, what we do for the Master, what we do for God, that is what will matter at the end of the day. Nothing else will. There's nothing wrong with taking care of your family. There's nothing wrong with having good jobs. There's nothing wrong with hobbies. I enjoy every bit of that. There's nothing wrong with that. Oh, but hear me and hear me well. If that takes precedence over the Word of God, if that takes precedence over the house of God, if that takes precedence over the things of God, then there is a problem in our life. A lot of times you say, boy, I sure would like to have it. Well, can I tell you how to have it this morning? Can I show it to you? Whenever we think about the life of Elisha, he had it. I mean, he had it. They throw the dead man in where he was at, and the dead man hit his bones and come back to life. I don't know about you. I find that very interesting. He had it, man. He had something. How did he get it? Well, a lot of people think that it all starts right here. A lot of people think that Elisha just prays and says, God, give me a double portion of thy spirit. And Elijah says, well, if you see me whenever I leave, you'll be able to have it. And he saw him whenever he left, and the mantle fell, and Elisha picked it up. And that's where the story starts. But that's not so. This is not where the story of Elisha starts. Take your Bible, go back to 1 Kings chapter 19. Flip back just a couple of pages. Flip back a couple of pages in 1 Kings chapter number 19. There's a lot going on. I don't have time to go into all of it, but Elijah's had him a little pity party. You might as well say amen there, because we've all been there before. And Elijah's saying there ain't nobody else serving God. And God says, I've got 7,000 that's not bowed to, but they some more people serve. You ain't the only one serving God. Amen. And Elijah begins to leave from having his little pity party. And watch with me in verse number 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Now, note verse number 20. And he left the oxen and run after Elijah and said. Now, just before we go any further, the first thing that comes to my mind when I read the first part of that is this. Well, if I'm out in the field working and somebody throws something at me, I'm going after them too. What are you doing? Come on, wake up. What are you doing? Why are you throwing stuff at me? He comes by and he casts that on him. Look what the Bible said. He said Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, watch this. Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, this is Elijah talking back to Elisha, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Now note verse number 21. And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. If you're going to have it, number one, watch this with me this morning. Number one, there has to come a time of deserting in your life. You said, preacher, what do you mean by that? Here's simply what I mean by that. There has to come a time when you say goodbye to some things. You know, we get to 2 Kings chapter number 2, and Elisha, man, he's got the power of God on him. We get to chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. We watch God begin doing miracle after miracle after miracle in Elisha's life. And boy, we think, man, what a blessing. Boy, God's using him. The power of God is on him. But how did he get that? Here's where it all started at. There was a day that he was minding his own business. He was plowing in the field. He was taking care of his family. And here's what happened. The man of God came by. He throwed his mantle on him. And Elisha seen something in Elijah and run after him. And he said, hey man, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back home. I'm going to sell out. I'm getting rid of everything. I'm killing anything that would bring me back to it. And I'm going to follow you. He deserted some things. He said, preacher, what's the application of that? Here's the application. What is it that is keeping you from giving him everything? What is it that is keeping you from giving him everything? There'll come a day in our life where we'll have to make some choices if we're going to have it. If we're going to have the touch of God on our life, if God's going to be pleased with us, I'm preaching primarily to a saved person right now. There'll come a time in your life where you'll have to push some things to the side. There'll come a time in your life where you'll have to say, no, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. There comes a time where we have to give him everything. It's a time of deserting in his life. What did the Bible say in Galatians chapter number 2? He said this, for I am what? Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what Paul is saying right there? Here's what he's saying. I'm choosing to desert myself. I'm choosing to die to myself. I'm choosing to die to my wants. I'm choosing to walk away from what I want to pursue what he has. Yeah, I think about Brother Glover back there. And I remember the very first time I ever met him. I don't know if he remembers it or not, but I do. It was at Turkey Cove Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina at the winter meeting. It's where I met him at the first time. You know what? When you think about him, you think about, and I don't mean this derogatory because I'm the same way. Think about a country boy. He was raised in the country and in the flat country. We was raised in the hilly country. Listen to him talk. He's a country boy like us. Are you with me? And I thought, I remember that. And then he said God called him to preach. And then he said he surrendered to the mission field. And you know what he said a while ago? He said this is 4 months full time on deputation. You know what? There come a time in his life where he said, God, you can have all of me. And he's decided I'll desert everything to serve you. Many preachers, I read this the other day, many preachers never walk through an open door because they're always waiting on a bigger open door. They're always waiting on a bigger open door. Desert, what is it that you need to get out of your life today to do more for him? You know, the Bible said this. I thought about this, and then I'm going to move on. But I thought about this. The Bible said, wherefore seeing, Hebrews chapter number 12, wherefore seeing we're compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight. Did you catch that? Let's lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. There is sins that easily beset us, but watch this. There's weights that easily beset us. There are some things in our life that is not a sin, but because we allow them to have, I'm preaching good this morning, because we allow them to have priority over God, you know what it becomes in our life? It becomes a weight in our life, and eventually it does become a sin in our life. And you know what he says? We've got to lay it to the side. Hey, if we want the touch of God, if we want the power of God, if we want the anointing of God, there has to come a time where we lay it to the side. Say, God, I give you everything. God, I give you everything. What is it today that is holding us back from giving him everything? Oh, Elisha done a tremendous work. He really did. It's amazing what he done. It's amazing. But you know what he had to do? There come a time in his life where he had to completely surrender everything to God. I thought, Brother Elisha, will you come back to the piano, the real Brother Elisha that's here today? This guy was a real Brother Elisha too. I got three more points, but I won't mind the Lord right here. He gave it up. He said, Lord, and watch this. He don't have no position. Elisha don't. He just goes running after the man of God. He says, Lord, I want everything. I'm hesitant to do this, but I'm going to miss the Lord if I don't. I remember we got married in 1999. You can start playing softly, Brother Elisha. I take for granted people can read my mind sometimes. We got married in 1999. 1996, I was 18 years old. 1996. I'll save you the time. 47. Fixing me 48. Okay. 1996. I was 18 years old. And a guy named Jeff Hobson, who was working together at Unify, he said, hey, why don't you come hunt with me tomorrow evening? I said, okay. I said, sounds good. I went to his house. And whenever I got to his house, we got on the four-wheeler and rode up the road a little ways. And I'll never forget, we turned and went down. There was this sweeping driveway that went down like this. And then there was a beautiful little white farmhouse sitting at the end of that driveway. And right before we got to that driveway, there's an old corn crib. Or right before we got to that house, there's a little corn crib. Then there was a big barn sitting beside of it. And we turned beside that corn crib and went back off in there in the bottoms. And he said, this is some of my family's. And he said, we went back off in the bottoms, come back up. We hunted that afternoon up in a big field. We come back out, and whenever we come back out, I remember when I drove past that house, Brother Brian, I thought, man, that place is beautiful. That place is beautiful. I'd go see Jeff. We would hunt together. We'd become good friends. And I'd go see him every once in a while, and every time I went to see him, I'd drive by that house sitting back off there. It's a beautiful field on this side, woods in front of it, little farmhouse setting back off. Nothing fancy, just a beautiful little simple farmhouse setting back down off the road. And I think, man, that's beautiful. That sure is pretty. Well, fast forward to 1999 before me and Leslie got married. To make a long story short, guess whose house that become? Mine and Miss Leslie's. And I'll never forget the first time we walked in it. And I thought, man, this is where I'm going to raise my family. It's back off the road. You can't even hardly hear a car go by. Shoot deer out the kitchen window. Shoot turkeys out the kitchen window. I mean, who needs to go sit in a stand? Somebody say amen. When you can stand in your pajamas and eat sausage and shoot them out the kitchen window. It's where me and Miss Leslie started life at. It's where we started our home at. It's where we brought Madeline home to. It's where we brought Victoria home to, or Olivia home to. Now, I'll never forget, we was with Rock of Ages, and I went to Northwood Baptist Church, and as the assistant pastor and youth pastor at Northwood. My whole plan, and the plan originally there was, I was going to follow Brother Wishon. He was going to retire. One day I'd become the pastor. I'd keep living. My little white farmhouse, sitting back down off the road, living my life. Now I remember in June, in May or June of 2006, we knew that we was going to have to leave Northwood without going into a lot of details. We knew that we was going to have to leave Northwood. I really didn't know what we was going to do. Brother Robert called me one night and said, "Hey, will you come preach at Amazing Grace?" And I said, "If I can get everything worked out here, I got to talk to my pastor and make sure I can get things covered here. And if I can, I'll come. Give me a few minutes." I called him back and said, "I'll be there." And I'll never forget, we come and preach that Sunday morning. Whenever we left, I knew this is where the Lord was going to put us at. I knew it. Me and Miss Leslie talked about it. In January of 07, I was sitting on the front porch of that little white farmhouse sitting back down off the road. And I watched the U-Haul truck back in. I watched several trailers back in, and some of you that sitting in this room helped me begin to carry my stuff out of that little white farmhouse and put it in a trailer. I'll never forget whenever we pulled out and started up a road, I looked back over my shoulder. I told Luke, some of y'all remember Luke, he's in heaven. He was a saved dog. All you had to do was ask him, he'd tell you. I looked at Luke and I said, "Well, old buddy, we got a new home. We got a new ministry. We're going to trust the Lord." And I'm going to tell you something. The first few years, I thought, "Lord, why?" Friday night, I sat up there, listened to our choir sing like they've never sung before. I listened to the ladies sing and I thought, "My goodness." I watched my three daughters stand up and sing with a touch of God on them like they had never sung before. I sat and I watched 40 different preachers as God began to work in their hearts and their lives and help them over the past few days. And can I be real honest? I sure am glad that that day that U-Haul truck backed in at the house, that trailer backed in at the house. You see, sometimes it's hard to kill the oxen. But if we're going to have it, there comes a time in our life where we have to say, "Lord, wherever it is, whenever it is, and whatever it is, Lord, I just want you. I just want." Would God have done a work at Amazing Grace? No doubt. But you know what? I sure am thankful that He let me come. And I sure am thankful that He helped me to walk away from what I wanted, from my desires. I'm thankful we still own it and Madeline's able to start her life now. But they come that time where he had to walk away. And Elisha said, "You know what? I'm not worried about anything back there. I'm not worried about anything that I have. I want God more than I want things." And if we ever have it, I've got four other points wrote down that I could give you.
But I believe that's just where the Lord wants us to stop at today. Because you're never going to get them other ones until you get right here. You're never going to get to chapter number, or to 2 Kings chapter number 2, until you live 1 Kings chapter number 19. You're never going to get to the next step until you decide, here, God, here's me, here's my family, here's my livelihood, here's everything that I've got. I just want you to be pleased with me. That's what I'm interested in. I ask you this morning, what is it that you're holding on to? What is it that's got that grasp on you that you're willing to let go of?